Amen. You may be seated. How many of you have your Bibles with you tonight? Hold them up. Isn't that a beautiful sight? Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Well, open your Bibles again tonight to Ephesians chapter 6. We've used this for a theme for our entire prayer series. Then also, open your Bibles again tonight to the 14th chapter of 1 Corinthians and the 8th chapter of Romans. Now, while you're finding those three openings, Ephesians 6, 1 Corinthians 14, and Romans 8, we will remind you again of the schedule of services. Tomorrow is the last day of this prayer seminar, officially. In the morning again at the 10:30 hour, and then tomorrow evening at 7:30. We are at the moment speaking in the morning service on the subject of intercessory prayer, the prayer of the intercessor. And we invite you, when you come in the morning, to not only come for an hour of Bible study, for we have no preliminaries at all. We just get right into the Word immediately at 10:30. But come to stay an extra hour to pray together, to make intercession. And you'll be blessed by so doing, and will be also a blessing to others. And then tomorrow night will be the final teaching session of this series. Now on Sunday, we will be speaking here in this church. And on Sunday morning, remember, because we cannot house the crowds on the 11 o'clock service, so there are two morning services, two morning worship services. There's an early morning worship service at 8:30. And that helps alleviate, you know, certain amount of folks because we're crowded, as you can well see. And Ken was quite modest about it, but he'll be speaking at the 8:30 service Sunday. Brother Millard's asked me to speak at the 10:50 morning hour of worship. And then the Sunday evening service will be at 6:30. Now, last Sunday night and this Sunday night as well, we were led by the Lord to have a healing service and a healing rally. And so Sunday night we will speak on the subject of divine healing, and we'll lay hands on the sick for healing. I'm glad that the Lord is still in the healing business, aren't you? Praise His holy name. God's Word works, and it'll work for you just like it works for anyone else. Praise His name. All right, Ephesians chapter 6, verse 18. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. Now, for a theme of this seminar, we've used just the first few words of this verse. As we've just read the King James translation to you, said praying always with all prayer. Another translation reads praying always with all manner of prayer. Yet another translation reads praying always with all kinds of prayer. And so we've talked about some of these. We haven't been able to cover them all in our last seminar. We looked at some of the rest of them. But there are a number of kinds of prayers mentioned in the Bible. The prayer of faith, the prayer of worship and praise, the prayer of consecration and dedication, the prayer of commitment, or that is casting upon the Lord our anxieties, cares, and worries, the prayer of intercession. There is mentioned in the Bible united prayer. In the Acts of the Apostles, it mentions again and again that they lifted up their voice with one accord unto God in prayer. Then there is the prayer of agreement, Matthew 18:19 said, if two of you shall agree on earth as touching anything they ask, notice the word ask there, it shall be done for them of my Father which is in heaven. And then, of course, there is prayer in the Spirit, or that is praying with other tongues. And all prayer is to be to the Father, of course, addressed to the Father in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, last evening we were discussing with you the subject of praying in the Spirit or praying with other tongues. If you will, please turn back with me to, and we'll read Romans first and then 1 Corinthians. Romans, the 8th chapter. And we shall read the 26th and 27th verses of Romans 8. Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities. For we know not what we should pray for as we ought. He is talking about prayer here. We know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself, or as the margin says, himself, maketh intercession. There's the word intercession. For us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Now, P.C. Nelson, who was a Bible or Greek scholar, said to a number of we young ministers personally, as he was just had a little discussion with us, he said, actually, the Greek reads here, with groanings which cannot be uttered in articulate speech. And articulate speech means your regular kind of speech. And Dad Nelson pointed out that this verse also includes praying not only those groanings that well up within us by the inspiration of the Spirit of God and escape our lips, but it also includes praying in other tongues. Now that agrees with what the Apostle Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 14. For here he said, for if I pray in an unknown tongue, my spirit prayeth, but my understanding is unfruitful. The Amplified translation reads, my spirit, by the Holy Spirit within me prayeth. No, it isn't the Holy Spirit is doing it. It's my spirit by the Spirit. He gives the utterance to my spirit. Nowhere in the New Testament will you ever find an expression that the Holy Ghost prayed through anybody. He is not to do your praying for you, but he has been sent to help you, and to help you also in your prayer life. He is a helper. And so he said, for if I pray in an unknown tongue, my spirit prayeth, but my understanding is unfruitful. We quoted from Howard Carter last night. Howard Carter was a pioneer of the Pentecostal movement. He founded the oldest Pentecostal Bible school in the world, which is still in existence, and was for 19 years general chairman of the Assemblies of God in Great Britain. Howard Carter said, we must not forget that the speaking with other tongues is not only an initial evidence of the Holy Spirit's indwelling, it is a continual experience for the rest of one's life to assist in the worship of God. It is a flowing stream that should never dry up and that will enrich the life spiritually. Well, I concur with Howard Carter. And the Apostle Paul says the same thing. Notice that he encourages the church at Corinth to follow the practice in their own private prayer lives of praying and speaking in other tongues. Now we briefly, for the benefit of you who are not with us, we'll cover real briefly ground that we covered last night. First of all, he says in 1 Corinthians 14:4, he that speaketh in an unknown tongue edifieth himself, but he that prophesieth edifieth the church. Edifieth means that he builds himself up. One Greek scholar said, Greek professor said, that actually we have in our modern day vernacular, a word that we use that's closer to the meaning of the Greek than the word edify is, and that is the word charge, as we use it in connection with an automobile battery. For instance, that battery runs down, and we put it on the line and charge it up, build it up. And so he suggested that a good translation or good interpretation of this verse would be, he that speaketh an unknown tongue charges himself or builds himself up like a battery. Praise God. Smith Wigglesworth, a man mightily used of God in the Pentecostal movement around the world, with great revivals on every continent of the earth, said, somebody asked him, what is the secret of your ministry? Well, he said, it couldn't be education, because I never went to school a day in my life. It couldn't be pulpit etiquette, because I know nothing about it. It couldn't be oratory, because he could hardly speak. He said, I was going along doing the best I could there in England, for he's an English preacher, when someone told me that an Episcopal church in England, the Holy Ghost was being poured out, and people were being baptized with the Holy Ghost and speaking with other tongues, and I went up to see about it and came away speaking with other tongues. And my secret, he said, is this, that I get into the privacy of my own bedchamber or bedroom each day and spend 2 hours praying in other tongues and edifying myself, and then I go out at night and edify others. Praise God forevermore. Well, we can share with his secret, praise God, because he shared it with us. And so here is, that's what he's saying, that's what Paul said, here is the value. You see, some folks said, what is the value of speaking with other tongues? What is the value of praying with other tongues? Well, it is a means of spiritual edification, not mental, not physical, but spiritual edification, spiritually building up oneself. I can remember on more occasion than one, the Spirit of God helping me to pray this way, you know, and just charging me up, so to speak. I remember in 1943, May of 1943, my wife and I were pastor of a little full gospel church in the black land of North Texas, and North Central Texas, I guess you'd say, and we had a working agreement between us. She would help me in our pastoral and church work, and so I'd help her with her housework. And in the morning time when we'd get up, you see, well, she'd cook breakfast, but I then, as soon as breakfast was over, would clean up the kitchen, wash the dishes, put them up while she's making up beds and sweeping the rest of the house. And then by the time she gets to the kitchen, it's clean, and then she's free to go with me in church work for the day. Well, I'm in a custom of doing that on Saturday. I usually take that to get ready for my Sunday services. But nonetheless, I went ahead anyway and washed the dishes and cleaned up the kitchen. But all the time on the inside of me, there was the urge to pray. Now, you know, in our day, we have battery-operated toys. Today, you know. But in my day, we had these toys, you know, that you had to wind up. Got a spring on them, you know. Amen. And so, on the inside of me, in my spirit, as I was washing the dishes, I was praying in other tongues all the time. Not real loud. You know, as we say, sort of under your breath, you know. Maybe if you're standing right beside them, you might have heard me. But praying in other tongues constantly, you see. And as I dried the dishes and put them up, I was praying in other tongues. And as I took the broom and swept the kitchen out, I was praying in other tongues. And then I said to my wife, I'm going to go uptown to the post office. We got our mail in a box. And I'm going to walk because it's May and, you know, the sun's out shining and I'll get some exercise. And so really I walked a little bit out of the way and walked down through the city park and into town. And all the way there and all the way back I was praying in other tongues. Not out loud, of course, but just within myself. And then I got back to the parsonage and I checked the church over to be sure it's clean and be sure that everything's in order for the Sunday services. And I spent some time walking up and down the aisles of the sanctuary, praying in other tongues. And I would dare say that from 8 o'clock in the morning till 2 o'clock in the afternoon, over a 6-hour period, that though I was doing other things, most all the time, except that one period that I was there in the sanctuary of the church, though I was seeing about something, doing something, yet I dare say of that 6 hours' time that I put in 90% of the time praying with other tongues. Never said a word in English. Maybe say praise the Lord once in a while. Or hallelujah. But I just thought to myself, I wonder what God's getting me ready for. Because you see, the more I prayed, it was just like there's a giant spring, you know, in here. And that spring just winding tighter and tighter and tighter and tighter, you see. Till he got me all wound up tight, you see. Well, I thought he's getting me ready for the Sunday services. That's what he's doing. We're going to have a stem winder tomorrow, sure as the world. You know what I mean by that expression. But about 2 o'clock that afternoon in that parsonage, there was a knock on the door. And first Saturday of May of 1943, and a lady who lived in Greenville, Texas, brought her sister to that parsonage. Now, this lady had been raised up from a deathbed under our ministry, and she had requested that we pray for her sister. She said, my sister is an inmate of the Wichita Falls State Institution Asylum, Wichita Falls, Texas, and has been in a padded cell for 2 years. Tries to kill herself, you see. We can't get in there to minister to her, but I know God could bring her out where she could be ministered to. So I said, well, we'll pray about it. We have a little prayer group in the church. We'll turn it over to them. And so we had prayed. They had prayed for about 10 days about that. And so her sister's mind was not to the extent that she would had to be in a padded cell. But the doctor said she'll always need institutional care and will never be right. And they'd let her bring her home on 2 weeks furlough. But said, you watch her every moment. And so she brought her for prayer, brought for help, you see. Well, I could see right away then what the Lord was getting me ready for. I had no experience in this area in 1943. It was new to me. I knew something about healing. I said to the Lord in prayer, dear Lord, if I realize this, you can be sick in your head just like you're sick at your stomach. Are you listening to me? And in that case, of course, you can just lay hands on people, anoint them with oil, and expect God to heal them because he's promised to do so, you see. But then right on the other hand, I realize this, that in some of these cases, there can't be in some of them an activity of a demon spirit, you see. And if that is true, then that would have to be cast out. And so I said, I don't know. I just don't know the... you know how to deal with this. I mean, I could lay hands on the woman and pray, but we'll just have to look to the Lord. And so, while we were praying, the Spirit of God said to me, go stand in front of her and say, come out, thine unclean devil, in the name of Jesus. Well, after some persuasion, I never done that before, but after some persuasion I did, and that woman was delivered, and the same doctors that said she'd always need institutional care, pronounced her well. And the last count I had of her, many, many years later, she was teaching a Sunday school class at a full gospel church and working in a place of business. Her mind was all right, you see. Well, now, you see, the Lord got me ready for that. I wouldn't have been able to edify somebody else without being edified myself. Thank God he's given us this wonderful means of spiritual edification. I wonder if we're taking advantage of it. Then in the second verse of this 14th chapter, 1 Corinthians, Paul said, for he that speaketh in an unknown tongue speaketh not unto men, but unto God. For no man understandeth him, howbeit in the Spirit he speaketh mysteries. Now, I like Weymouth's translation of this verse. It said, howbeit in the Spirit he speaks divine secrets. He's talking secrets with God. Now notice that he said he speaketh not unto men, but unto God. God has given to the church a divine means of supernatural communication with himself. One thing you can be sure of, when you pray with other tongues, you're always talking to God. Now when you pray with your understanding, you may think you are and you may not be. Because you may be praying a selfish prayer. Are you listening to me? But one thing you can be sure of. So for that's the reason that Paul said, what is it then? I'll pray with the understanding, and I'll pray with the Spirit also. And he had just got through saying that praying with the Spirit is praying with tongues. And then number three, and we touched on this last night, and we'll pick up and go from there then. You see, speaking and praying with other tongues eliminates the possibility of selfishness entering into our praying. You'll notice it said here in Romans 8:26, likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, for we know not for what to pray as we ought. We don't. Too many times, our prayers in the natural and with the understanding are like the story they tell about the old farmer that always prayed, God bless me and my son John, his wife and my wife, us four no more. And we're always just praying for ourselves or our family, and that's all. Don't shout me down now just because I'm preaching real good. Amen. It's selfish. Or else it's like the story we heard about the fellow that said, my name's Jimmy and I'll take all you'll give me. And so too much of the time that's all our prayers is just a gimme something. Amen. I made mention of the fact in one of the morning services about intercession and travail. I was holding a meeting in a church in California, January of 1957, whole month of January of 1957. And one night in prayer around the altar, in fact, a real spirit of prayer just at the close of the service fell upon all of us. And you just didn't have to ask people. Just the whole congregation got up and made a run for the altar. And we spent time praying and interceding and travailing. And this church had been built, the building, for 15 years. It had a balcony, I believe a larger balcony than this one in it. It came down further, you know, way down. But in the 15-year period, nobody had ever been in the balcony. That is to sit up there doing the services. Maybe somebody went up there to clean it up once in a while or something. But they never, you see, they always had room for other folks to get in the lower auditorium. And as I was kneeling here by the altar praying, the Lord said to me, in fact, I had a vision first. Just a real quick vision, just a real flash, that fast. And I saw it. And I saw the balcony, the lower floor full and the balcony full. And here in this particular place at that time, they could park along either side of the street as well as the parking lot of the church. At least on Sunday they could. And I saw people run, you know, in the car and throw all four brakes on, just slide to a stop and jump out, slam the door and run for the church door to get in so they could get a seat. That would be refreshing to see that in a lot of places, wouldn't it? We have that around here. Praise God, you've got to come early if you're going to get a choice seat. And so the Lord said to me, though, you tell these folks, these people, this church, that if they'll not be so selfish in their praying, quit praying for themselves, that is putting themselves first, don't even put their own church first in their prayers. You know, that's selfish after all. We want to put our family, ourselves, and sometimes we never get any further than that. But put others first. The heathen, missionaries, in your prayers. Put them first. If you'll put first things first, the blessing of God, I bless you all I can, but the full blessing of God will be upon you, and you'll fill the building up. Well, we went away, and the next year, really about 10 months from then, we were preaching in a neighboring church. And my wife said, it's difficult a lot of time traveling around, you know, to get someone that'll fix your hair, because, say, you know, you go and you have to have it done over again almost. But there was a lady who was a member of this church that she went to when we were there, and she said, I believe I'll call over there to that town, see if she can take me, and I'll go over there, because I know what she'll do, what she can do. So I said, fine, I think that's a good suggestion. So she did. And she came back to him and said, honey, she said, this building's full last Sunday morning. First time in the history of the church. People said, in the balcony, it's full. Praise God. The church began to do what you said. Well, read it wasn't what I said. It's what the Lord said. I'm well satisfied that when we line up with the Word of God, that we'll get results. Now, He'll bless us just as far as He can. But He can't go any further and have His full blessing. Because, you see, instead of us getting His plan, going according to His plan, a lot of time we make our own plans and then ask His blessing on it. And He'll bless it as far as He can. But He can't bless it any further a lot of time because folks won't let Him. I remember I was holding a meeting one time in a state far removed from Oklahoma and Texas, and this gentleman had talked to me about coming, and I said to him, at the time you wanted me to come, I said, well, now, it'll have to be a 3 weeks meeting. Back in those days, I very seldom accepted a meeting for less than 3 weeks anyway. It takes time with a teaching ministry to get the word into people. But I said, you see, this is close to Christmas time because we were going to start the first Sunday after Thanksgiving. And I said, you see, if I didn't run, well, you could run over into the first 2 weeks of December, but it would be difficult to get another meeting starting before Christmas. And so I'll have to stay 3 weeks. Oh, that's fine. We want you for 3 weeks. Good, excellent, fine. And so we went with that kind of an agreement. Now, after we got there, I didn't say anything to him about money because I never say anything to anybody about money. I've never asked a pastor or anybody for an offering in my lifetime. I've never asked anybody in my lifetime for a meeting. And I've never been without meetings or money either. Praise God forevermore. And you see, I found out how to get it. And so after I was there, he just kept persisting. You know, what does it take for you to get by? I said, well, I'd just rather not tell you. Yeah, we want to meet your budget. And I said, well, I'd rather just believe God myself and just, you know, just. Yeah, but he just persisted day after day. And this don't sound big now, it sounds mighty small. But back there then, it's pretty good sized money. I said, well, it takes really $150 a week for me to meet my budget. I mean, I just can't make it on less than that. Just barely skim by. Oh, well, we'll just assure. Meet that, you see. Well, the first week he took up money for everything in the country. Had 3 services on Sunday. He had a radio program. He said, we're so many $100 behind on the radio program. So he took up money for that and got several $100. And then he said, I'm behind you. You know, it's his own home, wasn't the parsonage. And he took up money for that and paid $400 or $500 back payments, you know, and his payments in those days wasn't as big like they are now. And he gave me $125 the first week. And then the second week, you see, we came up and, you know, we had the agreement, but he had this Sunday afternoon service. He said, well, we can pull people in from all over town, from other churches, and I'll have a chance to raise a big offering for me. And then we were sitting on the platform. He said, now, I'm not going to tell him we're going to cut and run this meeting off, though that was already our agreement. He said, I'm going to tell him we don't know for sure. Come back tonight. We may get some people from other church that'll come then, see. And come back tonight, and we'll let you know then. And as he got up to talk and was telling them, now, we don't know for sure what we're going to do, and so on, the Spirit of God, just as plain as somebody sitting behind. In fact, I turned around to see if somebody was back there. There wasn't anybody back there. But I heard this voice say, when you get up, you tell them you're closing tonight. Well, I said, dear Lord, I'm going to be off this extra week, and I haven't even met my budget, and it's Christmas time, and I need extra money, and I've got 2 children, both of them in private school. And he said, Lord said, that's all right, I'll take care of you. Well, I said, what about this poor fellow here alone? Dear Lord, I'd like to help him if I could. He had an ulcer of the stomach. It's no wonder to me that he did. And I said, dear Lord, what's going to happen? Well, he said, I'll bless him as far as I can, but I can't bless him much because he won't let me. Can't do much for him. He won't let me do it. And that's a sad story, but it's true. Well, I closed out and went on home. And, oh, maybe at Christmas times and a few Christmas cards, I think we had gotten as much as $35. But the very soon as I got home almost, Christmas cards started coming. One fellow, I knew him well, said to me, Brother Hagin, I paid my tithes to my church. You know that. I've already put my tithes in my church. And on top of my tithes, I've given missionary offerings into my church. But he said, I was praying. God told me to send you $150. Enclosed his check. First week I was home, I got $365 in the mail. Now, that don't sound big then, but brother, that's big money then. Praise God forevermore. Never did it another year. Of all the years I've been on the fields, never happened again. But it did then, because I obeyed God.
What I'm saying to you is that too many times we're so selfish in our praying. God bless me, God bless mine, God bless my church, God bless my people. I think sometimes that we'd get more blessings of God if on some Sunday the pastor would say, now, we're not going to pray about our church today at all for anybody in our church. We're going to take the church across town and pray for them today. May God's blessing rest upon them. Can you say amen?
Amen.
Well, if you can't say amen, say oh me. It's so anyhow. All right, number four. You see, praying and speaking with other tongues will help us to be more conscious of the indwelling presence of the Holy Ghost. And if you are more conscious of His indwelling presence, then it's bound to affect the way that you live. And then number five, praying and speaking with other tongues will help me to learn to more fully trust God. It will assist my faith. Well, I know that's so now because the Word says so. It won't give me faith. Faith comes by hearing, the Bible said, and hearing by the Word of God. But Jude, you know, just one chapter, 20th verse, said, but ye, beloved, building up yourselves, now get this, on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. It'll build you up on your most holy faith, praise God, praying in the Holy Ghost. You see, since the Holy Ghost is the one that gives me utterance and supernaturally directs the words that I speak, then faith must be exercised to speak with other tongues. And you see, trusting God in one area will help you to trust God in another area of your life. I remember in my own experience, before I was ever baptized with the Holy Ghost, spoke with other tongues. I was pastor of a community church. And a church out in the country, just a little country church. And a dear Methodist lady that I knew, this very splendid Christian woman. But that dear woman was sick and had been for a good many years. And her husband had a good job. Made good money, had for years, way above the average. These were depression days, but he made big money right on through the depression. But he said to me when she first became ill, he said, you know, we had a lovely home, new furniture, new automobile, in fact, two automobiles. But he said, I've sold a home, sold every stick of furniture, so whatever automobile, they didn't have one. They rented a little furnished apartment that wasn't very good. Really. And he said, I've spent thousands of dollars. Now, thousands of dollars is not big now. But he said, tens of thousands of dollars I've spent on medicine and hospitals, and I still owe big hospital bills. And you could stay in the hospital in those days for $1 to $3 a day. Don't sound, some of you young folks can't understand that, but it's so nonetheless. And he said, yet I've spent thousands of dollars, everything we have. And he told me privately, her husband said, now the doctors have not told her. They don't think it's time to tell her. They shouldn't tell her yet. But they told me, of course, the doctors didn't know as much then as they know now, didn't have all the modern equipment to run some tests. But they said, we're just certain that this condition is run into cancer. You see, she had a stomach condition, and so they said, we're certain it's cancer of the stomach. Nothing we can do. And I've been there in the home. She never ate a normal meal, ate a little baby food, maybe a few raw eggs mixed up with a little sweet milk. Couldn't keep that on her stomach. Just suffer. So one day, I went to visit in the home, and they were having, because of some overtime work on his part that he'd worked way up into the morning hours and come home and went to bed and just got up about 2 or 3 o'clock in the afternoon, they were having breakfast about 2 or 3 o'clock in the afternoon. And so he just invited me to come on back to the kitchen. And we're eating back here, my wife and I, and I saw her eating bacon, you know, and fried eggs. She hadn't had any fried food in years. It just killed her almost, you know what I mean, to eat. And I guess maybe my eyes just popped open and just almost stuck out on stems. Because I didn't say a word, but she spoke up and said, yes, yes, this is me. And I'm eating bacon and eggs and grease. Not only that, but she said, I had to go get my husband when he got off way up in the wee hours this morning. We stopped at an all-night place and said I had a bowl of chili. She hadn't eaten anything like that in 10 years. Yes, she said, I'm healed. Well, I'd laid hands on her more than once and anointed with oil and prayed and she didn't get healed. I knew other healing evangelists had laid hands on her. I was a pastor in those days, but I knew she'd been in healing meetings. And hands had been laid on her. She'd been down to Dallas to Brother Hodge's church. Some of the healing revivals he'd had. Raymond Richard laid hands on her and others. Well, I said, what happened? Who prayed for her? She said, didn't anybody pray for me? Well, I said, how'd you get healed? Well, she said, down at the Full Gospel Tabernacle, I was seeking the Holy Ghost in the altar praying. The power of God fell on me and I began to speak with other tongues. Got the baptism of the Holy Ghost. And said, 3 days later, it dawned on me, I never have had any more symptoms. I'm healed. Well, you say, well, the baptism of the Holy Ghost healed? Well, certainly not. If it would, all you folks with the baptism of the Holy Ghost would be healed. Just automatically. But what happened here? You see, my brother, sister, trusting God in one area will help you to trust God in another area. And so, her faith was inspired. And so she was healed. I've seen and known of that happening more than once. Many times. Now then, number 6. We're just talking about the value of speaking with tongues and why I pray with tongues. You see, speaking and praying with other tongues provides a way for things to be prayed for which needs prayer. But for which no one thinks to pray, or of which they know nothing about. I read a good many years ago in the Pentecostal Evangel about one of our missionaries that was over in Africa. And he had some difficulty physically and just kept going down. They prayed and prayed, and finally he went for a checkup. He had an operation. They found out that he had cancer. And after they'd opened up his body, all they could do was just simply sew him back up and roll him out because they couldn't remove it. And there's nothing they can do. And he went right down to death's door. But right down there in the valley of death, he said himself in his testimony that was published, that he thought it was his home call. He's going home. But right in the midst of it, he rose up perfectly well. One day he had it, the next day he was well. After that he was well, he received a letter from a lady in Australia. And she said, I was praying. She didn't know him. She had just read about him as a missionary in some periodicals. But a burden of prayer fell upon me. And by my bedside, I was praying with other tongues, oh, for an hour or two. And then she said, I don't know whether it's just a suspicion of mine or whether, you see, some things are not as clear as they should be. But it seemed on the inside of me in the spirit, I could see you rise up well. And I thought I was praying for you. And so, see, she hadn't even heard that he had cancer. But she wrote. And he said in this article that was published that when we compared dates, the day I rose up well was the very day she is praying in the Spirit. Hallelujah. I heard Brother Boley, H. E. Boley, say in 1938, preaching in Dallas. He was a missionary, you know, to Africa at the turn of the century. And so he said that we would go, he was over on the east coast of Africa at this time, and he said, we'd hire a boat and would go out to some of the islands to minister to those people. And so he said we'd hired this boat, and I got a, because they spoke a different dialect than where I was, when we had a fellow that was saved, filled with the Spirit, and I took him along as an interpreter. And we went out. Well, we were coming back in, but those little squalls and storms will blow up. Just come up in a hurry. And one of them came up, and he said, nigh it overtook us. The thing just persisted, and he said, finally about midnight, the boat we had hired, you see, the folks were not Christians. But the man who owned it and the captain of it said, we're going to be dashed to pieces out here. Only thing we can do is try to make a run for it, but we can't get in because of the rocks. We'll be dashed to pieces on the rocks. What are we going to do? Then he said, you're used to plying these waters. You know something about, what do you think? He said, I think, though it's dangerous, that we ought to try to make a run for it, because we're going down out here. So he said, I said to him, well, wait till we prayed. So the native that was with him as an interpreter, and he knelt in the boat, and he said, we prayed and committed ourselves to God. And then I said to him, let her go, make a run for it. And I heard with my own ears Brother Boley say, H.E. Boley say, that when we made a run for those rocks or for that port or harbor, then that boat just took off up in the air like an airplane, sailed right over the rocks and landed in the harbor, and it was just as peaceful and still in there as it could be. Then he said the next week, when he visited one of their mission stations, one of the lady missionaries that was there on this particular station, left alone there by herself, said to him, Brother Boley, last Monday night, about midnight, were you in trouble? Well, he remembered that. That's when it happened. He said, why, sister? Well, he said, she said, I worked real hard. In fact, got worked from daylight to dark. And I just so tired, and finally I lay down about 9 o'clock to go to sleep. And suddenly I was awakened, just like somebody had touched me. And I recognized the Lord wants me to pray, and I had a burden to pray. So I got out of the bed on my knees, and I prayed from 10 o'clock at night till 12 o'clock in other tongues as the Spirit gave me utterance. And she said that 12 o'clock, I had a note of victory. I began to sing a song in tongues. I began to laugh in the Spirit. I knew whatever it was I was praying about, I had it. Now, I didn't see anything, but she said, I seemed to have just an intuition, just an inward something that I was praying for you. Were you in trouble? And he said, then I told her the story. I'm sure glad you got out and prayed. Praise God. Amen. Amen. And I heard him tell many wonderful stories like that. You know, I heard Brother A.N. Trotter, he's preached here in this church. Any of you know him, brother? Miller knows him quite well. I heard him say when Sister Trotter's gone to be with the Lord now. But they went out as missionaries to Africa many years ago. And there is a particular kind of fever over there in those days, because they were there way back, you know, at the turn of the century, just after the turn of the century. That it's deadly. When you get it, that's it. You're dead. And Blanche Trotter came down with that fever. That's it. She's dead. Nobody's ever lived with it. Nobody. No one. But her daddy and her mother lived away up in the New England states, out there on a farm. Early pioneer day Pentecostals. Got up early in the morning, you know. He's going out with his milk buckets to the barn to milk the cows. About halfway between the barn and the house, suddenly he just set those buckets down. Came back to the house. His wife was at the old wooden iron cook stove in the kitchen cooking. When he came in, she said to him, "What's the matter?" Because she said, "He's white as a ghost." He said, "Something's wrong with Blanche down in Africa. Her physical life is in danger. Let's pray." And they fell on their knees in that old farmhouse and began to pray in other tongues. From away early in the morning, while it's not good daylight yet, and after a while the sun's up and bright, the cows are lowing, wanting to be fed and milked, the hogs are squealing, wanting to be fed, the chickens wanting to be fed, and other farm animals, but they're praying. And they prayed on till noon, and they're still on their knees praying in other tongues. They prayed on till 1 o'clock. Prayed on till 2 o'clock in the afternoon. From away daylight, you see, till 2 o'clock in the afternoon without getting up out of the floor in other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. And at 2 o'clock in the afternoon, he suddenly rose up and said, "That's it, we've got it, ha, 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 praise God, it's it, it's it." And I heard Brother A.N. Trotter say, when we compared in the process of time, when we compared time, the difference in the time, at the very moment, at 2 o'clock in the afternoon, after praying those many hours in tongues, when he said, "That's it," he said, at that very moment, my wife and his daughter Blanche, you know, you knew her, that she just, like you snapped your finger, just rose up instantly well. Praise God forevermore. Praise God forevermore. I'm afraid that we're not taking advantage of that which belongs to us as we ought. I said that speaking and praying with other tongues provides a way for things to be prayed for which needs prayer, but for which no one thinks to pray, or of which they know nothing about. Nothing about. But you see, the Spirit knows. The Spirit knows. I gave an illustration one of the days there, because see, you'll automatically lap over in these. Because in the area of intercession, the Spirit of God helps us to make intercession. I gave an illustration one morning. Brother Woods here, who for 17 years was our pastor in Garland, Texas. And I was home between meetings. And on a Saturday morning, I was going that day, actually on Saturday, traveling to a city to begin a revival meeting the next day. But suddenly, about 5 o'clock in the morning, I just suddenly sat bolt upright in bed. I thought I heard a door slam. I thought somebody had come into the house. And I listened, and I didn't hear anything. And I said, I believe that's the Lord. And then I began to look to the Spirit of God within me. You see, He's in there. The greater one's in me. He's in you, if you're born again and filled with the Holy Ghost. And I looked on the inside of me. And as I looked on the inside of me, I could sense that somebody, some member of the family, I didn't know who, but somebody, is life, physical life, is in danger. And I said to the Lord, "Lord, I don't know who it is, but somebody, some member of our family, physical life is in danger." That's the sense I have. And I don't know for what to pray as I ought, because you know, you don't even know about it. But the Spirit knows, you know. And I'm going to trust you to help me to pray this thing out. And I began, like Smith Wigglesworth said, I start out in the flesh and wind up in the Spirit. So I wasn't inspired to speak with tongues, but I just started praying with other tongues. And I lay there very quietly, never disturbed the wife. She slept right on through it and must have prayed an hour and a half in other tongues. And all the time I was praying, I had the sense that I was praying for my mother. Now, Brother Wood told me later that identically the same time across town, he did the same thing, and he suddenly sat straight up in bed. And that he didn't know what it was, but that he began to pray in the Spirit, pray in tongues, and he had the same sense that he was praying for my mother. Well, because I was awake that extra hour and a half and didn't get in bed until late, my wife got up and just let me stay there and sleep. And 8 o'clock the next morning, the phone was ringing, and my sister was calling. She said, "They've just called, and Mama," they said, "Mama's dying. And to get there as fast as you can." And so I said to her, well, I was right. That's what I was praying about. So I rushed over there, and the head nurse of the of this convalescent hospital is there. They've got her under oxygen. She's unconscious. And the nurse said to me, the last thing she said before she lapsed into consciousness was, tell Kenneth to pray. Tell Kenneth to pray. But you see, I'd already prayed. See, that's the thing. The Holy Ghost, if we'll learn to listen to Him, if we'll learn to respond to Him, we will have already prayed when those emergencies get there. And we'll not be too late. But if we haven't, we're going to be too late. And so I really didn't pray. I just reached over there, you see, because they had the oxygen mask on her, and laid my hand on her head and said, Mama, there's no sign, no sign, whatever. No sign. You know, she's lapsing. The nurse said she won't make it. She won't come to. She won't make it. She's dying. I said, Mama. And then I spoke a third time, a little louder. I got a little closer to the air and said, Mama. And I could see her lips move a little bit. The nurse took that mask off, you know, you see through it. Took it off of her. And I said, Mama. And she said, I said, this Kenneth, come on back. It's not time for you to go yet. Fast as you could snap your fingers, she popped right into consciousness. Her eyes popped right open. And that afternoon when I went down to my meeting, she was sitting up in the rocking chair rocking. Praise God forevermore, see? Praise God forevermore. Well, I could stand here all night long. All night long. And when the sun comes up in the morning, I could still be telling you true stories that happened to me just like that. Amen. Oh, thank God for the Holy Ghost. Oh, somebody said, yeah, but you're a preacher. That doesn't just belong to preachers. It belongs to the whole church. Praise God. I remember we were preaching out there in California. May of 1956 in Redondo Beach, California. We had took our family with our children in those days. They took their school in that year, high school, from the University of Oklahoma. There's a high school division there. One of the toughest courses in the world, but it is accepted in any institute of learning. And I taught them. But I remember way up in the morning, I was suddenly awakened. Sometime, I'd gotten off to bed. Everybody looked at the clock. No, but I suddenly awakened. Suddenly just sat up in bed. We had a large trailer home we traveled in those days. And I thought somebody had come into that trailer home, you see. Spartan Imperial Mansion built here in Tulsa those days. 43 foot long. And so I said, then I lay back down. I realized that the Lord had awakened me. And I said, Lord, what is it? What is it? Then I began to look on the inside of me. And I sensed again that somebody, some member of the family is in danger. Their physical life is in danger. And I said, Lord, I don't know who it is. Don't know if I want to praise out. But I have your word for it, that the Spirit is our helper. And I'm going to trust Him to help me to pray this thing out. And I began in the flesh. I don't mean I was inspired. I just began to speak with other tongues. And again, I'll quote Wigglesworth. He said, I always start out in the flesh and wind up in the Spirit. And so, I continued to pray. I lay there, never disturbed my wife, and I prayed about an hour and a half in other tongues. Never said a word to you. And then that thing lifted, and there was an ode of praise and victory, and I fell off to sleep. Now, once in a while, not often, it isn't necessary that you know Him. Let's put it this way, if it is necessary, He'll let you know. If He doesn't, don't bother about it. But He let me know this time what I was praying about. I was convinced it was so. I fell off to sleep. While I was asleep, I had a dream. I don't pay attention to dreams. Yet a few times, three or four times in 40-some-odd years, God has spoken to me that way. I had a dream. And in my dream, I was in, you know how you are when you're in a dream. I was in Shreveport, Louisiana. And my youngest brother, he was saved at one time, but he was a backslider. And wasn't in fellowship with God. And I saw him in a hotel room in Shreveport, Louisiana. And in the nighttime, I saw him become sick way past midnight. And I saw him call the desk of that hotel and then pass out. And I saw the red lights of an ambulance flashing as it made its way to that hotel. I saw them load him in, and they flashed away, you see, to the hospital. And then I was standing in the corridor of a hospital. There's a door there and somewhere another. I know that the other side of that door, my youngest brother's there, and I know that the doctor's there with him. And the doctor came out, pulled the door to behind him, looked so sad, wouldn't look at me, just looked down. Finally said, "He's gone." And standing there in this dream, I said, "No, doctor, he's not gone." He said, "He's gone." I said, "Oh, no." He said, "You didn't understand. He's dead." I said, "No, he's not dead." I'm talking about the dream now. And he said, "Well, how come you're so smart?" I said, "Well, the Lord Jesus Christ told me that he's not dead, he'll live." In this dream, the doctor said, "Oh, you're one of those nuts." "Well," he said, "I'll just show you." He turned around and flung the door open, and I followed him in the room, and there was a body on the bed, and the sheet pulled up over it. And he jerked that sheet down and said, "Look for yourself." And when we looked, he batted his eyes and started breathing. And the doctor looked at me, and he looked at him, and he checked him over, and he said, "He's alive." And then he said, "I've announced too many people dead. I know he's dead." He said, "Maybe you knew something I didn't know." I said, "I did." And that's all a dream. I knew I was praying for him. That was me. I never said anything to anybody. We went on from Redondo Beach, preached a meeting over at Long Beach, went out on the desert, Trona, preached a week, then went up to the mountains in Northern California for a camp meeting. And then we went on, we were there for several camps, youth camps. And then we went down to Vallejo, California, and preached a 3 weeks meeting. And at the end of August, 20th day of August, 1956, on my birthday, we arrived back in Garland. And I was parking this large trailer in the backyard. Just got in, been there a few minutes, 20 minutes. And my brother drove down the street, pulled in the drive, came back there where I was. I was setting this thing up on jacks, and he said, we talked a little bit. And then he said, "I like to die while you was gone." "Yeah," I said, "I know you was down in Shreveport in the hotel, and you took sick in the nighttime, called the night clerk and passed out, and they rushed you to the hospital." "Yeah," he said, "that's exactly the way it happened." "Who told you, Mama?" I said, "No, I haven't seen Mama." And then I told him what I saw in that dream, how I prayed. And he said, "Well, that's exactly the way it happened." So the doctor told me, I said, "Man, I thought you was gone. I thought you was dead. You just suddenly revived." He's back now. But thank God the Spirit of God in me out in California knew what was going on in Shreveport. Could alert me where I could pray. Can you say amen?
Amen.
Praise his holy name. Then number 7. Oh, I like this one. I like this one. "Brother Dave, get up there to the piano. Sing that song you sing about in Isaiah, 'This is the rest.'" Praise God. Thank you, Jesus.
"Lord, we worship you."
Yeah.
"In spirit and in truth."
Hallelujah.
"Transformed, renewed in mind. In Jesus Christ divine. This is the refreshing."
Oh, hallelujah.
"Praying in the Spirit.
Elders.
All right, you got your Bibles open real quick. My time's about gone. I just got a few moments left. Open them to the 28th chapter of Isaiah. 28th chapter of Isaiah. Notice the 11th and 12th verses. For with stammering lips and another tongue will he speak to this people, to whom he said, this is the rest. That's what he's singing about. Wherewith you may cause the weary to rest. And this is the refreshing. Open them to the 28th chapter of Isaiah. 28th chapter of Isaiah. Notice the 11th and 12th verses. For with stammering lips and another tongue will he speak to this people, to whom he said, this is the rest. That's what he's singing about. Wherewith you may cause the weary to rest. And this is the refreshing. Hallelujah. 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 This is the rest wherewith you may cause the weary to rest. This is the refreshing. What is? With stammering lips and another tongue. Praise God. Praying in the Holy Ghost. Glory to God. I'll tell you, for many, many years, I think it's perfectly all right, folks. Can't if they want to. But my wife and I haven't even taken time to take a vacation. Many of these years I've preached two services every day. I've been at this for 41 years. But I rest while I go. I'm refreshed while I go. I found the secret. You go away on a vacation, you'll come back and have to rest up a few days. Hey, amen. You can be refreshed while you go. Just get into your own bedroom, pray in other tongues for an hour or two. This is the refreshing. This is the refreshing.
Hallelujah.
This is the rest. Wherewith the weary shall rest.
Glory to God.
Hallelujah. See, we're not rested enough. Amen. Many, many years, we never, only in all of the 37 years we've been married, I don't guess my wife and I have had 3 vacations. Maybe a few days. But going almost constantly. I'll tell you, if I get weary, what I do, I get in his presence, pray an hour or so in tongues. It sustains you. I pray with my understanding, but this is the rest wherewith the weary may rest. This is the refreshing. I believe there are a number of reasons, and I've given you some of them in time past. I believe there are a number of reasons that for 41 years, one preacher said, well, you've got a strong constitution. Well, I didn't have one to begin with. For the first 17 years of my life, I never was well. I had a deformed heart. I had an incurable blood disease. I had almost totally paralyzed when I was healed. Only weighed 89 pounds when I came off the bed of affliction in 1934. 4 years later, didn't weigh much more, just weighed 138. But you know, in all of these years, and I'm very careful the way I say that, God's not going to bless me bragging on myself because I'm nothing. And I don't want to attract attention to me, I want to attract attention to Him. But for 41 years, He's been my strength and my healer. And don't you misunderstand me at all. I'm perfectly believe in helping people and thank God for medical science
And I tell people all the time, if they need help, if they can't pay the doctor bill, I'll pay it for them. If they don't have a way to get there, I'll carry them. If they can't buy the medicine, I'll buy it for them. But I haven't even had a headache in 41 years. I haven't had an aspirin in 41 years. Too late to start taking them now. I mean, why do you want to take one if you don't have a headache anyway? I hear people talking about, hey, I wonder some. Last headache I had was in August of 1933. Hey, exactly. Lasted 3 days and nights. I haven't had one since then. Praise God forevermore. Now, there are a number of other reasons why, but I believe this is one reason here. I've taken advantage to a great extent, not as much probably to full as it ought to, of to rest. And of the refreshing. Hallelujah to Jesus. This is the rest wherewith. And somebody asked, well, what value is it of speaking with tongues? Let me put it this way. Is there any value of resting? Is there any value of refreshing? God said, that's the way it's coming to you. With stammering lips and another tongue. This is the rest wherewith the weary shall rest. This is the refreshing. Now finally, I must close. Praying and speaking with other tongues. And go back with me now to the 14th chapter of 1 Corinthians. And I want you to see something here now. 1 Corinthians chapter 14. And I want you to read. Let's start in with the 14th verse. And read down through the 17th verse this time. For if I pray in an unknown tongue, my spirit prayeth. On the Amplified Translation, add, my spirit by the Holy Spirit within me prayeth. But my understanding is unfruitful. Verse 15 now. What is it then? I will pray with the spirit, and I'll pray with the understanding also. I will sing with the spirit, and I'll sing with the understanding also. Now notice verse 16 and 17. Else, when thou shalt bless with the spirit, now remember that's with tongues. How shall he that occupieth the room of the unlearned, that's unlearned in spiritual things, say amen at the giving of thy thanks, seeing that he understandeth not what thou sayest? So it has to be in tongues. Now verse 17. For thou verily givest thanks well, but the other is not edified. Now that's the reason he said he'd pray both ways, with the understanding and with the spirit also, because in the presence of the unlearned, well, go ahead and give thanks. Go ahead and give thanks or blessing with your understanding so he'd be edified. But he said, thou verily givest thanks well. Now what's he saying? In other words, to pray and to speak and to give thanks in other tongues is really the most perfect way to pray or to give thanks. Thou verily givest thanks well, he said. That'll get the job done when nothing else will. Now let me close out with an illustration. Friend of mine, Assembly of God pastor, down in Texas. I'd heard, because I'd preached revivals for him when his boys were small and they grew up and made preachers. Two of them did at least, these two older ones. And so I'd heard about one of these boys being healed. He had been in an automobile accident. His neck was broken. Doctors gave him up to die and he was healed. Last account I had of him was pastor of a church down in East Texas. But I saw this pastor, fellowship with him, the boy's daddy, and I asked him firsthand. I said, I've got some reports, but I'd like to get it firsthand about the healing of that young man. He said, well, he had been to preach, he and his wife had just, you know, had been married too long, had a young baby just a few weeks old. And so he's the evangelist, so they were with us. His daddy was pastor. So the wife was home with the baby, and he had been invited to preach a Christ Ambassadors rally. And so he'd gone to preach that rally. And on the way home from the rally, there's a carload of drunks run into him, knocked his car off the road, and so they phoned him. A policeman called him. His boy's down in the hospital. He rushed down there. He said the doctor said to him, his neck's broken, his back's broken in two places, and said he has a severe head injury. And even if he regains consciousness, he'll be paralyzed from his neck down the rest of his life. And then because of this severe head injury, his mind may not be right. It might be better just to leave him alone, let him die. Well, he said, we couldn't do that. Here's a young man just in his early 20s. And so he said, we called some of the church folks, and they came to church to pray, and we had a chain of people there praying 24 hours a day. And for 48 hours, you see, somebody's in the church, several of them praying day and night. And he's unconscious, lying there in intensive care, no better. This pastor said to me, he said, I went down there this third night, and they didn't want to let me in. I said to him, now, I'm not going to disturb anybody. I'm just going to be quiet. But I've come down here to pray, and I'm going to pray. He's my son, and I'm going to do it. Finally, he persisted. They said, well, come in and get over there in the corner. And, of course, there's special nurses there all night. He's on machines and different things to keep him going. And so he said, I just knelt there by a chair at 8 o'clock at night, began to pray. I said, dear Lord, we prayed the way we know how to pray for 48 hours, the prayer chain. Nothing seems to happen. I'm going to trust the Holy Ghost to help me pray this thing, because praying in tongues is the most perfect way to pray anyway. And he said, I began to pray. I mean, he said, he told me I had no inspiration. I don't mean, he said, I was inspired to pray. He said it was work. I just made myself. It seemed like it's just me doing it. I began to pray in other tongues. After about an hour or so, it began sort of to flow out of me a little bit, very quietly. Very quietly, because the nurse is there. Didn't get loud, just praying to myself. Said, now I would hear her, because I didn't know mother. I'd hear her leave, and when the wood said, I'd just sort of pray a little louder, sort of in a whisper like. And I prayed from 8 till midnight. And I prayed from midnight to 4 o'clock in the morning, 8 hours in other tongues. And he said to me at 4 o'clock in the morning, the nurse left, and I lifted my voice a little bit, you see. And about that time, a voice on the bed said, Daddy, is that you? He said, I got up and rushed to the bed and took this boy by the hand. Doctor said he'd be paralyzed, you see, from his neck down. I said to him, son, yeah, that's me. He said, I thought I heard you praying. He said, I'm healed. God's healed me. He said, I said to him, move your fingers. He said, he moved his fingers. He said, I said to him, move your toes. He said, under the sheet, you know, he moved his toes. I said to him, see if you can pull your leg up. Said he pulled his knee up, pulled that knee up. Praise God forevermore. And so he said, the nurse came back in and rushed up there. Oh, it's a miracle that he's regained consciousness. Now don't get him upset, you know. Don't get him, because there's pretty well up, you know. Amen. Don't get all moved here now, you know. The doctor came in the next morning and said, Doc, I'm healed. See, they'd put him in a cast, you see, neck and back, because his back's broke. He said, I want to get out of this thing. Oh, no, the doctor said. Yeah, he said, the Lord healed me last night. Oh, he said, it's only been 2 or 3 days here. This is the third day, you see, since the automobile accident. He said, just take me up, x-ray me, and come back and tell me what you found. They took him up and x-rayed him and came back down. And that Assembly of God pastor told me, the doctor said, that beats anything ever seen. He said, now you see, God could, because God can do anything. Amen. He could have healed that back up, you see, and that neck where there'd be no sign of a break or anything. But the doctor said, you can see the, you know, where the back was broken in the two places and the neck was broken, but it looks like an old break of years standing. It's all grown up. Took the brace off his back, sent him home, said, well, we think like it, you ought to wear at least one of them collars around your neck, you know, sort of, you know, because it's weak. But he went home and throwed it away. I saw the boy years later, and he's still all right. Praise God forevermore. Praying in tongues will get the job done when nothing else will. Praying in the Spirit, with the assistance of the Spirit. Hallelujah. Jesus said, I'll pray to the Father, and he'll send you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever. And again, may I quote to you the Amplified Translation, which gives the sevenfold meaning of the Greek word translated comforter. I'll pray the Father, and he'll send you another comforter, helper, counselor, intercessor, advocate, strengthener, and standby. Thank God forevermore. He's in there. Spirit-filled believers, He's in there. To help you as a comforter, as a helper. And He helps in the prayer life. Helping to make intercession. Helping to pray.
Let's call on Him. Praise God. Let's look to Him. Let's depend upon Him. He's everything the Father says He is. He's God the Holy Ghost. And He's living in us. Greater is He that's in you than he that's in the world. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Father God, we're so grateful and thankful for Thy precious holy word. Forever, O Lord, Thy word is settled in heaven. Thank You for the privilege of praying in the Holy Ghost. Praise God. Brother Dave, sing that song again. Keep your eyes shut and listen.
This is the refreshing.
This is the refreshing.
Praying in the Spirit. Building up yourself on your most holy faith.
Yes.
Flowing like a stream. This is the rest wherewith ye may cause the weary to rest.
Hallelujah. Singing again. You got something else to go with it? Give us that too.
Praying in the Spirit in a brand new
tongue.
That's
it. That's good.
Speaking to my Father in the Son.
Hallelujah.
And with the heart believing that the answers come. Praying in the Holy Ghost.
Praying in the Holy Ghost.
Groaning in the Spirit is the sweetest way. For the Spirit knows my Father's will, and thus He prays. My soul and my body are left standing dumb. When I'm praying in the Spirit in a brand new tongue.
Hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah. Thank You, Jesus. Thank You, Jesus. Sing that again.
In life, there are things that confront us, but I know who to go to in prayer.
Yes.
But when I know not what to pray for, the Spirit takes over from there. Praying in the Spirit in a brand new tongue, speaking to my Father in the Son, and with the heart believing that the answers come. Praying in the Holy Ghost.
Glory to God. Thank You, Jesus.
Groaning in the Spirit is the sweetest way. For the Spirit knows my Father's will, and thus He prays. My soul and my body are left standing dumb. When I'm praying in the Spirit in a brand new tongue.
Hallelujah. Has that got another verse to it?
When the Spirit, he makes intercession. There's no cause at all for despair, for he knows the mind of my Father.
Thank you, Jesus.
And he specializes in prayer.
Hallelujah.
Praying in the Spirit, in a brand new tongue, speaking to my Father in the Son, and with a heart believing that the answers come. Praying in the Holy Ghost.
Hallelujah.
Groaning in the Spirit is the sweetest way, for the Spirit knows my Father's will, and thus he prays. My soul and my body are left standing dumb when I'm praying in the Spirit in a brand new tongue. My soul and my body are left standing dumb when I'm praying in the Spirit in a brand new tongue.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.
Glory.
Praise God forevermore. Hallelujah. Well, let's praise Him. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Praise and reverence and honor and grace and glory be unto Him both now and forevermore. Thank you, Jesus. 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 Praise God. Hallelujah. Are you getting anything new you want to give us? See me like there's something coming. Hallelujah. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Praise God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus.
Lord, we bless you now. While giving thanks, we bow. In languages you know, our voice in spirit flow. This is the refreshing.
Oh, hallelujah.
Ring in the Spirit.
That lady was just praising God out of her spirit. She said, my heart doth magnify the name of the Lord. Yea, my soul is enlarged, for the blessings of God are upon me. I magnify His name, for He is good, and His mercy and power endure forever. She just praising God. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. 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 Praise God. I believe God has something else for us. I just sense it in the spirit, you got something. Praise God. Amen. Well, that's all. Whatever it is, that's all.
Hallelujah.
Praise God. Amen. Thank you, Lord.
Praise God. Thank you, Lord.
Praise God.
Thank
praise
you, Lord.
God.
Praise
Hallelujah.
His holy name. Praise
Hallelujah.
His holy name. Praise His holy name.
Is not the tongue a creative force? Does it not create or destroy when it is used? So therefore, for the spirit man, when he enters into the spiritual realm and believes in his heart and says with his mouth, he creates realities even in this world and realm. So therefore, when the man of God begins to pray by aid of the Holy Spirit which is in him, he speaks the perfect prayer according to the will of the Father, overcoming circumstances and the things that are around. And he changes those things, for he believes in his heart and he says with his mouth. And it is faith in his heart rising up by the Holy Spirit, quickening those words and causing that which was to be changed around. And it is spoken into existence, even as the Father God said, let it be, and so it was. So the Spirit of God quickens the mortal man, and he believes, and he says, and it comes into being. And that is why it is imperative that the inner man pray according to the will of the Father in other tongues. Hallelujah.
Thank you, Lord
Jesus.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, Lord Jesus.
Glory to God.
Hallelujah. Praise his holy name.
Hallelujah.
Praise his holy name. Praise his
holy name.
Praise
God. Hallelujah. Do you understand that?
Thank you, Jesus. I did.
Praise God. Praise God. I was raised in Pentecost, and I had an old grandfather that he used a term that a lot of times has been misused, and he called it praying through. And I was, when I was 11 years old, struck with polio in my neck and back and paralyzed and told I'd never walk again. My grandfather found out about that. And he went home, he began to pray in other tongues. And he believed in his heart and said with his mouth, according to the will of the Father, and the will of the Father is that I be healed and normal. And when he believed that in his heart and said it with his mouth, even though it was in faith by the Spirit of God, he spoke it into existence and I was healed and walked out.
Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
That's
Hallelujah.
What the Spirit of God's Glory been trying to God. Get across to us. The working of it. The working of it. But there's the refreshing part. When you're tired, when you're weak, when it seems like you don't have anything. I came to this service tired. I mean, I had a hard time. I had to keep stirring, to shake myself, keep alert. I wasn't disinterested, but we begin to sing. And a song rises up inside you.
Hallelujah.
And that's what brings the refreshing.
Yes.
Alima solipora dilema chera tele malefose por per no le meco nalampa nere ma tele necessebo vele vestai no le meco
Thank you.
viva libertushke, vela bates, ole peburibis menele, vela mandoras perigaste, ale morre, adonis elema bereke, ale mandost Hilevande Harovesi Hilevalemenos Ad great Neleva Prosusost Ramandelek Doreva Sefello Anne Haseus Hasemani Elevatus alla tua matita levi alla musa beleva namori alle me fura maha nalebe e se me Alle brono grosso e la va che sono ravali o la mavro o brasevole bu alle There's a song in your heart it is ringing From the Father God, lift your voice, let it go, it'll be ringing with love and joy untold. So sing that song every day. As you go along the way, then the strength and the health shall be seen. For you truly are a king. I'm a king, and I rule. Over all, every circumstance, both great and small, he has made me a king in life, given me the Holy Spirit out of strife, taken it away. Giving me joy and peace that has caused me to stand.
Now there's a song inside you. You may be conscious of it and you may not, but it's there. The Spirit of God just said it was. I don't know, you may not do this at your church, but you're not at your church.
Amen.
You're here. The Holy Spirit is inside you to quicken you right now. The Bible makes a statement. It says, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord.
Yes, amen. Amen.
Speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual
yes,
songs.
Amen. Amen.
The Spirit of God wanted to demonstrate for you the comfort, the refreshing that the Holy Spirit brings when you yield to it. I came tired, but I'm refreshed. And if you came tired, I want you to take the liberty right now to begin to sing in other tongues. And as he said a while ago, you may have to start out in the flesh. But then again, God said he'd pour out his spirit on all flesh.
Amen.
That's where it'll begin.
Hallelujah.
You in the flesh moving into the spiritual realm, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. It may be with the music that he's playing. It may be a song of your own. I don't care. But I want you to make melody in your heart to the Lord. I want you to usher it forth from your lips. Now, he didn't tell me what to do. We ain't got no plan or no program. I'm acting under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. The direction of the Holy Spirit, I believe. And I want you to begin to sing.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.
Come on. Join.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank
you. I'm no service till I have any more.
Jesus, thank you, Jesus, thank you, Jesus, thank you, Jesus. Glory to God, hallelujah. Mandalia sakala bratikia, mandala bratala sabata kaliedia sanada. Nimelia babala balala bratja tusha shabra delibra pradini pratita le bratja da 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 la chica te la prende e che le fa dolore dolore e via che cade fra di la Thank you.
Jesus Christ, thanks be unto God. Thanks be unto God. Praise God, praise God, praise God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Secondly, praise God. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus.
Glory to God. Glory to God.
Thank you, Lord Jesus. Praise His holy name. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Praise His holy name. Praise His holy name. Blessed be the name of the Lord. 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 Hallelujah to Jesus. Glory. Hallelujah. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Praise God. Thank you. Thank you. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Praise God. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Well, isn't Jesus wonderful? Hallelujah. Praise God. Amen. Praise His holy name.
I feel just like I'd like to say this, Many of you know I've been in the ministry many, many years in Pentecostal gospel. I've been to many prayer conferences, and you've heard a lot of talking about praying. But this lines up with the most beautiful manifestation of speaking in the Spirit and interceding in the Spirit that I ever experienced in all of the years of my ministry.
Thank you, Lord.
You no longer need to talk about the days they used to have, like God used to do. God has manifested himself in such an unusual way here. Though I've been in this ministry many years, I see something in the value of speaking in tongues I've never comprehended before in all my life. I sometimes wondered why over in Isaiah, he said, "With stammering lips and another tongue will I speak." And I really wondered almost why the value, why that stammering, and you hear it sometimes.
Yes.
But it's evidently to be associated with that over in the Romans about the groanings.
Yes.
In the Spirit.
Yes. In
the inarticulate language because of the importuning of the Holy Spirit. Mm-hmm. I'm going to do it more than that.
Amen. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. Well, I'll tell you, the presence of the Lord is just so sweet. You just don't want to move, do you? Oh, glory.
Glory to God.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Refreshing. This is the refreshing. And the Bible speaks about refreshing in the day of refreshing. The time of refreshing is from the Lord. Glory to God. It's here. It's here. Yeah, it's here. Hallelujah. Praise God. Glory. Thank you, Jesus. And you just don't want to go home, do you? Great things are happening. Great things are happening. Praise God. Praise the Lord. One of our students here, in fact, student body, what is he, president or what do you know? Brother Rackley, James Rackley. He's not here now. Must have gone out to preach. He made a tour just recently for up in Nebraska for small chapters of full gospel businessmen. He was telling me the other day, I made him over to the bank. And he said, one of the chapter meetings, he taught an hour, ministered to some folks. Chapter president got up and dismissed them. Nobody went home. So he taught the word of God another hour. Chapter president dismissed them. Nobody went home. Everybody's hungry for God, you see. He taught them another hour. Chapter president dismissed them. They still didn't want to go home. He said he'd give out. I remember when the Lord first spoke to me while I was praying. We're doing some things now that the Lord said to me 13 years ago this month in a time of prayer. I was praying in tongues, got lost in the Spirit. The Lord gave me things to do, told me to do it. And among other things, he told me back there in those days to go to home, have home meetings. Well, he was a Baptist. Then his wife down in Houston, been filled with the Holy Ghost. We went over to their home, had a great home meeting. You know, all brand new people. People knew nothing about Pentecost. And they were just baptized the Holy Ghost. We went back then to that same home about a year later for a meeting, home meeting, and I got a little carried away, and as I do sometimes, and taught them for an hour and a half. The next night I got up and apologized for talking so long, such a long Bible lesson, an hour and a half. And these folks were Episcopalians and Roman Catholics and Methodists and so on. A few of them, maybe a handful, six or seven of them filled with the Holy Ghost. And they said to me, "Is that as long as you can talk?" Then we just never heard anything like that. Said,
Oh, don't stop. If you can go that long, don't stop under 2 hours anyway, and we'd rather you'd give us three. I thought, dear Lord, it's a good thing you didn't talk that long. Some of our Pentecostal churches, they'd all been gone home. But these folks, it's so refreshing. So refreshing. Amen. Well, let's stand. We better go anyway. If you can. If you can, well, you can go. Oh, glory. How many of you are believers? Just see your hand. I'll tell you one thing about it. I wouldn't miss tomorrow night for anything in the world. Every night, this is just getting bigger. I mean, just climbing higher. Just climbing higher. Just climbing higher every night. Praise God. Well, we got one more day to go. Don't know whether I can stand it or not, but I'm going to do my best. So you'll be with us in the morning at 10:30 tomorrow night, 7:30. How many of you are believers? Just see your head. Say it out loud. I am a believer. I'm not a doubter. Well, turn around and shake hands with three people and say that to them. You can go home.